Today on the HR Power Hour, we are preempting our normal show to bring you the highlights of the audio from the 2014 Maine gubernatorial debate presented by Thomas College and the Mid-Maine Chamber of Commerce, previously held on Thursday, October 9, 2014. Gubernatorial candidates Elliot Cutler, Governor Paula Page, and Congressman Mike Nishu will be discussing the economic and business issues that matter to Maine. Please enjoy the show.
Well, good morning and welcome to Thomas College. We are very honored to have you here on our beautiful campus, and we hope that you will feel the dynamism and pride of a college that's growing and thriving and has been serving the workforce needs of Central Maine and beyond for over 120 years. On November 4th, Maine's people will have a very important decision to make. Who will serve as Maine's next chief executive officer? On behalf of the entire state, I would like to thank each of the three men who have offered to serve as Maine's governor for the next 4 years. Mr. Elliot Cutler, Governor Paul LePage, Congressman Michael Nishu. Welcome, and thank you for being here today. We will first have opening statements, and we will start with Mr. Cutler.
Thank you, Lori. Thank you, Kim. And thank you to the Mid-Maine Chamber. In this crisp October morning, Maine is a state in transition. And Lori, you've been a Paul Revere, or at least a Paulette Revere, warning us for years that change was coming and it's here. For more than 1,000 workers in the Penobscot River Valley and the towns where they have lost their jobs as mill workers, it's a brutally painful transition. On Saturday, I sat in a restaurant in Bucksport with a welder. His name is George. He's a welder and a pipe fitter, and he sat there and told me with tears in his eyes he does not know what he's going to do. This transition has put Maine's future into sharp relief for all of us with a clarity that forces us to confront the challenges we've long ignored and to question our political choices. Now, this morning, you're probably going to hear Governor LePage say that this election is simply a choice between a conservative and two liberals, and Mike here will say the same thing that Libby Mitchell said 4 years ago, that it's just a two-person race, a choice between the Democrat and the Republican. They're both terribly wrong, and we can't afford that kind of thinking anymore. We can't afford more politics as usual, partisan politics that have trapped this state now in an 11-year-long nosedive through 8 years of John Baldacci and now 3.5 years of Paula Page. With our assets and resources, Maine is full of boundless opportunity and prosperity, but it won't come to pass if we settle for more of the same, if we're afraid to vote our hopes and instead vote our fears, if we sit still for a choice between what is not working today and what didn't work before. There's another way, and that's the way I'm offering you. It's a way forward, not left, not right. I hope you'll listen to the debates. Vote on November 4. Make your choice.
Thank you. Thank you for that minute and a half.
Got to take a lead.
Listen, the governor took 5 minutes yesterday for a 3-minute closing statement.
Governor LePage.
Good morning, all, and it's wonderful to be home. You know, I love the state and I love its people. And most people, including myself, never imagined when I was on the streets of Lewiston that I'd be your governor. I am the epitome of having lived the American dream, and I want every man, woman, and child in this state to live the life that I have lived in this great state. You know, we can go backwards to the status quo. And you've heard the opening remarks, which is the same rhetoric, the same critiques that you've heard for 40 years. We need more role models, not critics. We are moving Maine forward. Over the last 3.5 years, you, the private sector, have created 22,000 jobs with our help. We cut the income tax, and we paid the Maine hospitals. My opponents continue to defend the status quo. Government never has and never will create prosperity. The private sector does it. We owe the next generation and the generations after that to live the American dream. We will continue to work at creating more jobs. Thank you.
Thank you. Congressman Michoud.
Thank you very much. I want to thank everyone for coming here this morning. I love the state of Maine. I was born here. I worked here all my life, and I plan on retiring in the state. I've been honored to serve you in the Maine legislature, as president of the Maine Senate, and as a member of Congress. My story is different than most politicians. I'm not a millionaire. I'm not a lawyer. I'm not a head of a big corporation. And I think most Mainers know by now that I'm not the slickest talker or the world's greatest orator. What I am is a practical problem solver. I listen. I'm a consensus builder. Some politicians talk about working across the party lines to bring people together. It's an easy thing to say. It's another thing to actually to be able to do. I'm the only candidate in this race for governor that actually has been able to bring Republicans and Democrats and independents together to strengthen Maine's economy and to address some of the major issues we're facing as a state. And I believe that right now, that's the type of leader that Maine needs. Because right now, Maine is at a crossroads. We can either continue down the same path of divisiveness, partisanship, and mismanagement that has left Maine near the bottom as far as job growth here in the state of Maine, or made a punchline on the late night TV shows. We can choose a new path, a path that will move us forward. So I'd ask for your vote on November 4th.
Thank you. At this point, we will turn to the questions. The first three will be about education. Question number one. Confucius once said, if your plan is for 1 year, plant rice. If your plan is for 10 years, plant trees. If your plan is for 100 years, educate children. In your mind, what does it take to be an education governor? And how would you ensure every Maine person has the opportunity to reach his or her full potential? We will begin with Mr. Cutler.
Number one, we've got to be an investor. We've got to all be an investor. We need to invest in early childhood education, like EduCare here in Waterville. We need to invest in stronger, better pre-K to lifetime education. We have to pay our teachers more, the good teachers. We have to make sure that our opportunities for our children are not a function of their affluence, their parents' affluence, or the zip code where they live. We have to invest in a more efficient and effective post-secondary set of systems in Maine. We need to merge the universities and the colleges so that we're not paying for two sets of higher education. We need to get our costs under control, and we need to make post-secondary education and training in Maine accessible to every high school graduate in the state. We're now 34th in the country. Even though we're 10th in the number of kids who graduate, we're 34th in the number who go on to any post-secondary training or education.
Thank you. Governor LePage?
Well, the first thing you can't do is be in somebody's back pocket. And since I've been your governor, we've put in millions upon millions of dollars in education, despite what you hear. We are now spending more on education, K through 12, today than we ever have in the history of the state of Maine. But what we don't do is we're not getting enough of that money into the classroom. What happens is we put a budget out and the legislation requires us to write a check, but we cannot tell the education system where it goes. And unfortunately, it's going in the wrong direction. There are two winners and two losers in our K through 12 education. Administrators are winning, the union is winning. The two losers, our teachers, underpaid, overworked, and our students. We need to fix it.
Thank you. Congressman Michoud.
Thank you. I view education as an investment in our future. We have to start investing in education if we're going to move Maine forward in a positive way. First, we should invest in early childhood education and pre-K. Waterville has an incredible EduCare Center, which I've visited a couple of times. It's a great success that we can build upon. Second, as a state, we have to start getting towards our 55% that the voters have approved a number of years ago. And as governor, that's my goal to get there. I know we're not going to get there overnight, but we have to make that as a goal to get there. Third, we have to make higher education more affordable. And the way you're going to be able to make higher education more affordable is have the sophomore year tuition free. That is the year that students usually drop out because they can't afford to move forward. Last, we need a governor who values education, a governor who will talk how proud that the education system is doing here. Yes, it's not perfect, but we have a pretty good system that we can work upon here in Maine.
Thank you. Question two. The governor and the legislature have been strong advocates for making the Maine Academy of Natural Sciences at Goodwill-Hinckley a statewide school for young people who are struggling in school and may drop out. This has brought both students and jobs into this region. If elected or re-elected, will you continue to support funding for young people from all over Maine to attend the Maine Academy for Natural Sciences? And would you lift the cap on charter schools above 10, including online schools? We'll begin with Governor LePage.
Absolutely. The only bad thing about charter schools in the state of Maine is we were the 41st state to do it. That's the bad thing. The good thing is the greatest thing that's happened. They're overwhelmingly successful, not only here in Maine, but around the country. I would certainly lift the cap on them. And the only premise about that question that concerns me was that the legislature helped. The legislature in the state of Maine in the last 2 years has done everything they can to close them down.
Thank you. Congressman Michaud.
Thank you. Goodwill-Hinckley is a unique school. It reaches out to students who are having trouble. I've had the pleasure of going there a couple of times. I really enjoyed my visits there. Under my Maine-Made plan, I put an emphasis on agriculture and fisheries. Goodwill-Hinckley can help actually prepare the next generation of farmers, and I applaud the school's commitment to renewable energy and its use of solar energy as well. I would not lift the cap on charter schools. I have concern with charter schools and it's siphoning off money from the public school system. First, we must make sure that we adequately fund the public school system. I would not eliminate the 10 charter schools that are currently into the statutes, but when you look at what's happening in this region, particularly in Skowhegan, where there are two charter schools and the money that's being siphoned off from Skowhegan, it's really hurting that community. We got to fund education properly in the public school area.
Thank you.
Yes, we continue statewide funding. No, we wouldn't lift the cap, not yet. Let's wait and get there and then see what we should do. But I want to go beyond this. You know, there's a big issue about funding in Maine. We're talking about funding here. Mike's talking about investing. I'm talking about investing. I want to build three new magnet schools, one for marine sciences in Machias, one for agricultural sciences in on the Presque Isle campus of UMPE, one for creative arts in Portland and in Lewiston. But the difference between Mike and me with respect to investing in early childhood education, with respect to investing in more pay for good teachers, with respect to investing in schools in Maine that need more help, with respect to magnet schools, is that I have said to the voters of the state of Maine exactly how we're going to pay for it. Mike has a $300 million plan, and he's keeping a secret from all of us, if he knows how he's going to pay it, about how he's going to pay it. That's what we can't afford anymore in Maine.
Thank you. Question three. The greater Waterville area is home to three private colleges, Colby, Thomas, and Unity, and one public institution, the Kennebec Valley Community College. 20 miles to our south is the University of Maine at Augusta and the private Kaplan University. Recognizing the critical importance of higher education to the future of Maine, how would you, as governor, plan to strengthen the public higher education system while at the same time doing no harm to the private colleges. Please speak specifically to your plans for the use of MIHIFA bonding and for funding the Maine State Grant Program. We'll begin with Congressman Michoud.
Thank you very much. First of all, MIHIFA is an important tool. It helps hospitals and others get more bang for the buck. It supports investments and it creates jobs here in the state of Maine. And there's no risk to the state of Maine either from those bondings. But it has huge payoffs. I read actually an article recently or earlier this summer about the governor's anti-bonding policy that actually costs hospitals and nonprofits millions of dollars in higher interest charges. What we need is state policy that actually bolsters public education and higher education in Maine, not policies that actually will hurt them with higher interest rates. As I mentioned earlier, education is an investment in our future, and we must ensure that everyone, no matter where they live in the state of Maine, has access to higher education so that they can prepare themselves to be leaders of tomorrow.
Thank you. Mr. Cutler.
The MIHIFA program is really one of the riskless programs for borrowing the state of Maine. It's highly collateralized. I don't think there have been any defaults, but it requires the approval of the governor before a pool of bonds, a set of institutions can come together and borrow. And if they do that, if the governor approves, they pay an interest rate that in the case of the Maine General Hospital borrowing, for example, was 1.5% lower. Now that doesn't sound like a lot, but it's going to amount to $40 to $100 million more that Maine General is going to have to pay because Governor LePage refused to let them go into the pool. Now that $40 to $100 million complicates the other decision the governor made of saying we're not going to take Medicaid expansion money. Maine General Hospital has a problem. We have a problem. We're going to be paying more for health care as a consequence of that decision.
Thank you. Governor LePage?
Okay. May 13th, 2013 is the day that the legislature finally agreed to pay the hospitals. And my position was, from day one, I said I would hold back selling bonds until the hospitals were paid. I did that because the credit rating agencies told us to do that. MIHIFA is a great program, and ever since May 13th, 2013, every single request has gone through. I have said it, and I'm keeping my word. Secondly, I think that the higher education is very, very critical, and I don't think that the grant program is working. I think we have to improve it. I think we got to be looking at scholarships, and we have to be looking at a program where employers who are looking for good people can buy the student loans and get a tax credit from the state. So I think we can make it sort of a very profitable operation.
Thank you. Question four. A half century ago, 50% of Maine's jobs were in manufacturing. And now manufacturing represents less than 10% of our employment base. Manufacturing remains very important to this region of the state and to all regions of our precious state. How do you plan to retain Maine's existing job base and attract investment in manufacturing and other high value-added services for the future? What do you see as our primary obstacles and our best opportunities? We'll begin with Mr. Cutler.
Energy prices are a problem. Tax structure in Maine, which is archaic and inefficient, is a problem. But the biggest problem of all is the fact that employer after employer after employer in the state of Maine, or those who think about coming here, cannot find a healthy, young, trained, skilled, educated workforce. That's our biggest challenge. We have to grow that workforce in Maine, and we have to be conscious about how we do it and strategic about how we do it. We need to recruit people to come to the state of Maine, people who are skilled, who are entrepreneurs, young people. And finally, there are going to be companies that want to come to Maine. And some of them are going to shortlist us and some other states. And the CEO of that company is going to want to interview the governor, three governors. She's going to call us each to Chicago to be interviewed. Who do you want to send?
Thank you. Governor LePage?
Yeah, recently the CEO of Texas Instruments talked to him. I congratulated him about buying National Semiconductor, and his first question is, Governor, I need your help. I have all kinds of young managers in Texas that I'd like to promote up to Maine. But they look at Maine as an 8% cut in pay. So the issues in Maine are very simple. We need to lower the cost of living and the cost of doing business. You've all heard me. For 4 years, I've been a broken record about our energy costs. The legislature has been beating us up every time and will not lower energy costs. To my left, the congressman just voted again a second time to delay natural gas to Maine. This is inappropriate. We need to get our costs down, and I agree that we need to work on our workforce development.
Thank you. Congressman Mischel.
Thank you. This issue is very near and dear to my heart because I worked in the manufacturing sector for over 29 years. And it really tears me apart to see my fellow workers be laid off. The biggest impediment to manufacturing in this state is one person. It's Governor LePage. He has no plan to move this state forward. He hasn't met with the paper industry collaboratively. The energy policy is one issue that's really important for manufacturing here in the state of Maine. The fact that this governor has not met with the New England governors. The problem is the bottleneck in Massachusetts, which means that we have to work collaboratively with the other New England governors. The fact that one issue that should be no problem at all is opiate addiction. When the New England governors met, Governor LePage refused to go because he said it was a photo op. How are we going to get that extension beyond the Massachusetts borderline if the governor won't even meet with them? Secondly, when they had a two-day conference, the New England governors, our governor did not show up. He sent a staff person instead. The pipeline expansion is crucial. We need a governor who's willing to engage in that issue.
Don't worry, Mike. Next year, there'll be three Republican governors in New England.
Thank you. Question five. How would you transfer people from welfare to independence? And we'll begin with Governor LePage.
Well, I think that is an area that we're making major progress. In the last 6 months, the Department of Labor, Department of Education, and DHHS have been working collaboratively to implement a program called Welfare to Work. Since then, 900 people that are on TANF have entered the program. 266 were evaluating their work skills and enhancing their work skills. 150 who were on TANF, who weren't working, are now working. We have cut welfare in the state of Maine nearly 50% in the last 4 years. And these people haven't left Maine. They're working. Just recently, a young man came up to me and it was all over me about, oh, you're taking away my Medicaid, you're taking away my food stamps. I said, not yet, not till October 1st. And I said, do you want to work? He said, yes, we have him in a system to get a job.
Thank you. Congressman Mischel.
Thank you very much. The best welfare reform is a good paying job. The system must work so that people can get out of poverty and into the middle class. There's two ways of getting people off welfare. One, like the governor has done, just kick them off. Or the second way is help to encourage them to get off. And the way you encourage them to get off is a tiered system that I've been talking about for quite some time. So if there is a minimum wage job out there, but an individual, if they take that job, then they'll lose their benefits, and the children will not be able to get benefits. What are they going to do? They're going to stay on welfare. So what you got to have is a tiered system. So encourage them to get off. They'll lose some benefits. They will not lose all of their benefits. You also got to have an apprenticeship training program. So if that job that's out there, they might not have the skill set needed to do it, you can train them to get on it. That's what's important. I will not tolerate waste, fraud, and abuse and mismanagement under a Mischel administration like this governor has done on his administration.
Thank you. Mr. Cutler.
You know, the formula is pretty simple, right? You get rid of waste, fraud, and abuse, and you provide incentives for people to get educated and get into the workforce. Problem is, what do we do about the workforce? The governor says we've created 22,000 jobs and made on his watch, and he's proud of it. That's like the manager of the Red Sox saying he's proud of the fact they won 71 games this year. Well, they also lost 91, and they finished 25 games back in the cellar of the American League East. Here's the problem. We are last, just about, in the country in replacing jobs lost since the recession. We're last in job growth and personal income growth since the governor became governor. We're doing about as well as the Red Sox did. Now, baseball managers and governors both ought to be fired for records like that. This is not going to help the state of Maine.
Thank you. Question 6. Would you raise minimum wage? And if so, how much? We'll begin with Congressman Michu.
Thank you very much. People who are working full-time shouldn't have to live in poverty. That's not just, and I would increase the minimum wage. That's not just the right thing to do, but it's also the smart thing to do as well. 13 states raised the minimum wage earlier this year. And what we've seen in those states, they actually had faster job growth than the states that did not raise the minimum wage. It goes without saying that if employees who make more money, they'll spend more money in their local businesses. I'd raise the minimum wage to $9 an hour. If you look at what we're seeing here in the state of Maine, I actually ran into an 80-some-odd-year-old lady in Lewiston who her 61-year-old son was unemployed for 3 years. He got a job at the grocery store for minimum wage. She was saying right now the minimum wage should be increased to $9 an hour. And as governor, I'd work across the aisle in a bipartisan way with business community to phase that $9 an hour in over a three-year time frame.
Thank you. Mr. Cutler.
Of course we should increase the minimum wage. I said I would have signed the bill that went to the governor's desk in the last legislature. Here's the problem. We also want to be on a par with other states. We want to be on a level playing field. The governor of the state of Maine, whoever he is, ought to be in Washington like white on rice all over the Congress saying, raise the minimum wage. Everybody wants to raise the minimum wage. Why? Because when I graduated from college in 1968, the minimum wage in today's dollars was $10.95, not $7.50. If the minimum wage had kept pace with the growth of the incomes of the top 1% of American people, the minimum wage today would be about $22 an hour. Of course we have to raise the minimum wage. And I'll sign a bill in the state of Maine that raises the minimum wage. But I want to see the minimum wage raised at the federal level. It's the right and fair way to do it.
Thank you. Governor LePage.
I need to just address the tiered system. I presented the tiered system in the state legislature, and it went down party lines. The Democrats voted against it. Minimum wage. If the federal government raises it, I'm all in. If I would not go at it alone, I think it puts us to a massive disadvantage. And right now, we have roughly 10,000 people in the state of Maine earning minimum wage. Everybody else is above that. My opponents like to talk about minimum wage. I'd like to talk about the optimum wage. I'd like to talk about getting companies that will pay $20, $25, $30, you know, an hour. Tomorrow, I'm not going to go to one of the forums because I'm going to be meeting the Chinese folks up in Washington County because we're breaking ground for two new tissue machines. They're not paying minimum wage, Mike, Elliot. They're paying very good wages. And we're also going to be having so many more jobs because that's what it's all about. It's not about minimum wage job. It's about optimum jobs.
Thank you. Moving to question 7 on energy and infrastructure. Maine has many pressing infrastructure needs and deficiencies, ranging from roads, bridges, ports, airports, passenger and freight rail, water and wastewater systems, and broadband communications infrastructure. How would you prioritize spendings on these projects? We will begin with Mr. Cutler.
Let's start by understanding how big the due bill is in the state of Maine right now. The University of Maine system has a deferred maintenance bill right now of over $400, now approaching $500 million. We have enormous capital investment needs in the state of Maine, our roads, our communications infrastructure, on and on and on. And how, whatever you think of the role of government, some of those things, like your roads, are government responsibilities. But you know what? Maine doesn't have a capital budget. We don't have a capital budget. We don't have a framework for making exactly the kinds of decisions that Lori's asking us about. We don't have a way to look at investments and say, well, this one makes more sense than this one because it's going to yield a greater rate of return. We don't have a target level for borrowing, so we don't make decisions about going into the capital markets on any rational and sensible basis. Maine is being run like a five-year-old would run a lemonade stand, and we've got to change that.
Thank you. Governor LePage?
Well, the first thing I would say is this. Whoever the next governor is, you make sure that you keep David Bernhard as your commissioner of DOT. And the reason why, he and Bruce Van Note have done a wonderful job. For the first time in the history of the state of Maine, we have a capital program for roads, bridges, airports, and our rail. We're coming off the first year, a three-year plan that's going to be spending $2.5 billion on our roads. Dave Bernhard in 2012 and 13 saved us $104 million from original contracts and put it back into the road so we can get more miles for the dollar. I'm very proud of the work he's done. We do have a capital program and we do have debt. But the debt ceiling we should have, it's a little lower than where we are. We are going to get our house in order. We've got 4 years in, and I will tell you this graph right here, folks, this graph right here shows the structural gap. When I took over where it is today, we cut it by 60%.
Thank you. Congressman Mishu.
Thank you. Investing in our infrastructure is essential to job creation, the economy, and moving Maine forward in a very positive direction. Businesses deserve predictability and stability. Governor LePage has held bond issues that have been approved by the voters hostage. He's actually even vetoed a job-creating bond proposal like question number 3 on the ballot this fall. Unlike Governor LePage, I support providing capital to small businesses to create jobs and revitalize communities. What we need is a plan. We need a long-term plan. And under my Maine Made plan, I talk about a 10-year bonding proposal, how we can move the state forward in a positive direction, like broadband, bridges, port, rail. We have to give businesses predictability. And what we've seen over the last 3.5 years under the current administration, because him holding up bonds, we do not have that predictability.
Thank you. Question 8. Assuming that it is privately funded, does not use eminent domain, uses as many existing roads as possible, and opens up movement of products and trade, do you believe that an east-west highway energy communications corridor would benefit Maine's economy by providing connectivity and better access to global markets? And if so, would you support its development? We'll begin with Governor LePage.
The question sounds great, and I don't think anybody would say no to it. But let me tell you this. When I was a kid, growing up in Lewiston, that's when they were building the Maine Turnpike. It's a long time ago. And most of you weren't even born. But the issue was this. You can't do it because if you do it, it's going to split the state in half. We're going to have an east-west state. That never occurred. So I think we have to be open-minded. We have to have more than just a theory, though. We have to have a concrete plan because, you know, I've sent some bills up to the legislature, which I thought were real good bills. They came back down completely changed, and I had to veto them. So I need more than just a theory. But in concept, yes.
Thank you. Congressman Mishu.
That's why being a governor who can work across the aisle to get things done, you would not have to veto all the bills you're vetoing. You'd work with the legislative process. The way the question's worded, it's unbelievable that you can build an east-west highway without using eminent domain. So the answer for the private sector east-west highway, I do not support it. Neither do over 200 small businesses who actually signed a petition against the East-West Highway because they're concerned about the impact of it and what it's going to have in their particular communities. I do support an East-West rail system. When you look at the European trade deal that's currently being negotiated at the federal level, I believe Eastport has a great opportunity to be the port where we actually can ship products in and out. What I would do is actually have the state build out that East-West rail using the Maine Army National Guard as a training project. You can have free equipment, free man hours to build it. The only thing they can't do is use their money for materials, but there are other federal dollars that you can use for materials. So I would support an East-West rail system, not the private-funded East-West highway.
Thank you. Mr. Cutler.
You know, there's an old expression that if my grandmother had wheels, she'd be a truck. None of us knows, not one of us knows where this road would go. We don't know what effects, what impacts it would have. We don't know anything about it. But there are still people who love the idea. I think the first thing we ought to do is fix the roads we have. Don't you? I think we ought to connect Eastport to the North American rail system. And we ought to, and we're going ahead to fix the rail system that connects the Port of Portland. But we ought to have a framework where we make decisions about both private and public projects in the state of Maine instead of dreaming stuff up, trying to sell to people who don't know anything about it, trying to sell a road to people who have no idea and don't trust anyone who's trying to sell them something.
Thank you. Turning to economic development. Where should Maine's next trade mission occur, and specifically, why? We'll begin with Congressman Michoud.
As I mentioned in my previous question, with the European trade deal that's currently being negotiated, it's one trade deal I feel that I can support when you look at the labor standards, environmental standards in Europe compared to the United States. That does have a great opportunity here in the state of Maine. Whether it's UK or Italy, I think it has to be somewhere in Europe. I met with five of the ambassadors in Europe, had a dinner with them last year in Washington, D.C., to talk about that trade deal and how important that trade deal, what it can mean for the state of Maine, and what it can mean for Europe. And we can work collaboratively together. We have a great opportunity here to take advantage of what's currently being done at the federal level. But we need a governor who actually can think long term. And part of the concern that I have when you look at that European trade deal is if Eastport is the destination point, we got to make sure they get their products in and out of Eastport to California and over in Europe. That's why I feel strongly about building out that rail system in Washington County. And I've already met with a private sector rail company to actually help with the Searsport rail line as well.
Thank you. Mr. Cutler.
Mike, again, you're looking in the wrong direction. When the graduates of Thomas College are in business, Europe, the European Union, will comprise maybe 5-6% of the entire world economy. But China will comprise 40%. Our trade and our real trade opportunities in Maine are in Asia, in China, and the other rising nations in the region. I don't think the question is where we ought to go on the next trade mission. My experience with China is that when you bring the Chinese to Maine, you make deals. They're investing in Woodland and Baileyville. The lobster export business that I started was a result of bringing the Chinese here. There are 1.3 billion Chinese. They've never seen a moose. They've never seen the North Woods. They've never seen our rivers or our oceans. This is a huge opportunity for the state of Maine, and we ought to be pursuing it. And we ought to say thank you very much to the Europeans and look the other way.
Thank you. Governor LePage.
I'm not sure I'd look the other way to anybody who wants to invest in Maine, but
that's true.
First, I gotta look at Congressman Michoud and say, Congressman, your idea about the National Guard. Being a congressman, being on the Veteran Affairs Committee, you should know you can't do it. You can't use the National Guard. It's illegal. You need to check that out. This week, we have some folks from Taiwan. We have some folks from China. That's where I'm going tomorrow morning. We're going to meet with some of the folks from China. I've met the owners. I went to China. Went there with the idea of getting one paper machine. We came back, we had two. I'm meeting with another group of Chinese for a project in Aroostook County. So while I agree with Elliot that the Pacific Rim has been very, very good and it's looking towards Maine, I wouldn't turn anybody off because I'll tell you, Greenland has got great opportunities. Iceland has got great opportunities. So I think we look at all and we grab those that are good for Maine.
Thank you. The final question before we move to closing statements. In your first 100 days in office, if you were to become governor, what two programs would you consider cutting and what two programs would you consider expanding? Please explain how you would pay for the expansion. We'll begin with Mr. Cutler.
I want to go after some of our tax expenditures. There are credits and deductions and tax breaks that cost us almost as much money every year as we appropriate in the budget process, but we never look at them. Let me give you an example. Pine tree zones. We started pine tree zones in the Baldacci administration in three chronically high unemployment areas. We then expanded it in the Baldacci administration to cover the entire state of Maine. The Department of Economic and Community Development, DECD, just received a report this year looking at some of our tax expenditure programs. The rate of return on our investment in the pine tree zones is -22.4% a year. Anybody want to take another look at that? We ought to do more in promotion and branding. We ought to do more in revenue sharing, we ought to do more in education, and we get there by property tax relief that I've proposed and a 0.5% increase in Maine sales tax. That's how we pay for it, and I challenge Mr. Michaud to explain once how he's going to pay for $300 million of spending under his plan.
Thank you. Governor LePage.
Well, I've been the governor, I am the governor, and we've cut a lot of stuff. But one thing that I think needs to be continued to be worked on is we need to get our tax structure competitive with other states because too many states and too many investors don't want to come to Maine because of our tax structure. So that's one area. The area that I really believe has been totally ignored and has been subsidizing Medicaid expansion for a decade is our elderly, our disabled, and our mentally ill. Been totally ignored in this state. We need to invest in those. And we need to make sure that we don't turn our backs on our nursing homes and not giving money. They haven't had an increase since 2007. We lost two in July, and I had to step to the plate and put some money in. And I'm asking for your vindication in November for having done that. But I will tell you this. That's where we need to put our money, not in able-bodied people that can work.
Thank you. Congressman Michaud.
Thank you very much. I know you've only been governor for 4 years, but you can use the Maine Army National Guard 133rd Engineering Unit to do as a training project to build out facilities. I did it when I was in the legislature to build the Houghton Barracks. We used them to do that. The first place I would cut to make a reduction is in the governor's extravagant vacation package that the Governor LePage recently gave his political employees. I don't know what that saves because the governor hasn't been transparent in giving the information to the public. The second area I'd eliminate is his demeaning grades A through F for a school system that is actually hurting municipalities as far as economic development. The first program actually I'd established would be actually on day one, I'll be submitting legislation to the legislature to expand access to health care under the Affordable Care Act to cover the 70,000 Mainers who were denied that. Not only is that the morally right thing to do, but actually will save Maine over $600 million over a 10-year time frame. And hospitals get a $348 million over that same time frame. By the governor not expanding access, he's actually costing hospitals about $75 million to $100 million a year.
Thank you. It's now time for closing statements. And I must say, because you have all done an excellent job of keeping on task, we have 2 extra minutes. So I'm going to give you each 1.5 minutes to make your closing statement. Enjoy all that extra time. So Beth, we set on that. And as we drew out of the basket earlier, we will begin closing statements with Congressman Mishu.
Thank you very much. And for this, I'll stand up. A lot of people ask me why I left a safe seat in Congress to run for governor. The reason why I left is because I love the state of Maine. I was born and raised here in the state of Maine. I'm disappointed in the direction over the last 3.5 years of our current governor, what he has done. The voters have a clear choice in this election. They can go back to the 4 years of the divisiveness and partisanship that Governor LePage has done over his time frame, or they can vote for a new direction, a positive direction, a governor who has the vision, who has a plan to move Maine forward, who has the experience working in the legislature on the Appropriation Committee as president of the Maine Senate and the evenly divided Senate as a member of Congress, who can bring people together to solve our problems. We have a lot of issues we have to deal with here in the state of Maine. We need a governor that we can be proud of, a governor who can meet with other New England governors, whether they're Republicans or Democrats, a governor who can meet with the trade ambassadors to talk about how important trade is here for the state of Maine, whether it's a trade with China, whether it's trade with the European Union. We need a plan. This governor does not have a plan. He hasn't presented one at all during this campaign. I hope and I ask for your vote on November 4th, because we can put Maine back on the right track where we can prosper here in the state of Maine. Thank you very much, and I ask for your vote.
Thank you. Mr. Cutler.
No, I don't. Why? Can everybody hear me?
Unfortunately, at this time, Mr. Cutler chose to leave his microphone and speak directly with the audience, so we cannot bring you his closing statement.
Thank you. Governor LePage.
Well, I'm not going to stand up because I don't like looking down on people. My actions will speak for themselves. I have reduced taxes. I've reformed welfare. I've created an environment which is much friendlier to business. And despite the fact that there's only 22,000 jobs now. Sorry, I made a mistake earlier. But this is the point. We could have created considerably more in the last 2 years. We have a congressman here who's talking about working across party lines. It's so easy to work across party lines when you do nothing. What have you accomplished? This 2 years, 10,200 bills went to Congress. 181 have passed in the last 2 years. Let's look at what we've done last 2 years. 700 bills went in. 90% are in law. Out of the 90%, 67%, two-thirds, nearly two-thirds, are now law. And there were Democratic bills. On the other side, I sent up 50 bills. 54% never saw the light of debate. Never saw the light of debate. So who is working across party lines and who's getting it done?
Thank you. Gentlemen, excellent job, all of you. And now I'd like to just have a little bit of fun. I have 6 questions to ask. You have 10 seconds to answer each question. So, we'll begin with Governor LePage. What is your favorite Maine place?
Point Lookout.
My favorite place is I own 6.5 acres of land in Medway, right on the Penobscot River. And I love when I have time off, which I don't have much time off, just to grab my chainsaw and go down there and cut a little wood.
Excellent. Mr. Cutler.
Just about all of Hancock County.
Who is your favorite Maine hero or heroine in the past or present? We'll begin with Congressman Mishu.
I think I have many when you look at Maine. We have a lot of states people here in the state of Maine, statesmen over the years. Ed Muskie, George Mitchell, Margaret Chase Smith, Bill Cohen. These are Maine heroes to me. They really portray what Maine's all about. Focusing on issues, working across the aisle, putting the interests of Mainers above everyone else.
Thank you. Mr. Cutler.
Oh, without question, it was Ed Muskie. He was my mentor for 7 years. He was, I think, one of the most extraordinary legislators in the 20th century in America. And I think he did more for the state of Maine than just about anyone before or since.
Thank you. Governor LePage?
I have to mention three people because they're just all equally important to me. Bruce Myrick, Eddie Collins. If it wasn't for them, I'd still be on the streets of Lewiston. And that lady right there. Love of my life.
Favorite Maine food? Mr. Cutler.
No question. Fried dough.
Governor LePage?
Lobster.
Blueberries.
Favorite Maine saying or expression? Governor LePage.
Harvard.
What?
Wicked good.
Yeah.
Favorite Maine fair or festival? Congressman Mission.
Common Ground Fair.
That's a tough choice. Freiburg Fair, maybe Common Ground Fair, both great.
Fairs, but the special one for me is Litchfield.
And the final, your favorite Maine artist or entertainer? Mr. Cutler.
I'll tell you what my favorite place is because it hosts a lot of entertainers who are artists, and that is Stone Mountain Arts Center in Brownfield. It is one of the great gems of North America, as far as I'm concerned.
I have to say, the best voice I've ever heard in my life is Joelle Morris, who lives right here in Maine.
Well, I guess my favorite entertainer that actually gets me laughing is Governor Paul LePage.
Come on, come on, come on!
Okay, I didn't see that coming. Thank you once again. Thank you to each of our candidates. Thank you to our sponsors. And thank you to all who attended today. This concludes today's forum. Thank you for coming. Thank you for being a part of this. Don't forget to vote in November.
Thank you for listening and catch us every week at 10 a.m. on News Talk WLOB 1310 a.m. or streaming live on WLOBradio.com. Podcasts of this show and every show are available at HRPowerHour.com. Have a great week, everyone, and remember, HR management is critical to your business's success.